the top story today. The Foreign Contribution Regulation Act license of around 6,000 organizations, mostly NGOs, cease to exist from today, the start of the new year 2022. This means that these organizations, which include several NGOs, can no longer receive foreign funding. Now, these organizations are among a cumulative 12,580 whose FCRA license has ceased to exist over the past few years. This includes organizations like the Oxfam India Trust. That's an NGO that works to support child education, empowering women and fighting against inequality. It includes a blind and handicapped association, the Leprosy Mission of India, the Tuberculosis Association of India, also the Indira Gandhi National Centre for the Arts, the India Islamic Cultural Centre. The Home Ministry says 5,789 of these 6,000 NGOs didn't apply for renewal.
As on December 30th, there were almost 22,800 NGOs with foreign contribution license in India. If you could check the updated list that has been put out by the Ministry of Home Affairs, as on date, the active NGOs with FCRA license stand somewhere around 16,800. That is, overnight, in last 24 hours, over 6,000 NGOs have lost their license to receive foreign contribution. So what is the Ministry of Home Affairs saying? Ministry of Home Affairs saying that majority of all the 6,000 NGOs who have lost their license to receive foreign contribution, majority of them did not even apply before the Ministry of Home Affairs for renewal of their license. And because they didn't apply for the renewal of their license, and that's why their license have expired based on the deadline of December 31st. So this is what we are hearing from our sources in MHA. Also, not all the 6,000 NGOs did not apply. In fact, some of the NGOs like Missionaries of Charity, they did apply for license, for renewal of their license, but based on some adverse inputs, the Ministry of Home Affairs refused to give renewal to some of the NGOs, including Missionaries of Charity. So such NGOs whose application for renewal of license were also rejected, even those NGOs, their certificate for receiving foreign contribution have also expired as on December 31st. So as on date, in the last 24 hours, over 6,000 NGOs have lost their foreign contribution license. And if you could take the overall numbers stand somewhere around 12,580 NGOs as per the Ministry of Home Affairs database that their certificate have expired. So some of the prominent NGOs include Oxfam and also Jamia Millia Islamia and also Indian Islamic Center and also Missionaries of Charity. So all these prominent NGOs which are doing some people welfare activities, even they stand to lose the license to receive foreign contribution. So what opportunities, what options before these NGOs? These NGOs can appeal before MHA to review the order of refusing to renew the application. If MHA again refuses to consider their application, then they can move court challenging the MHA's order.
All right. So now refusing an FCRA clearance has been listed by critics of the government as its way of suppressing organizations whose work or officials are not considered supportive enough of the center. So let's take a look at some of these organizations whose FCRA license has been nullified. The prominent names include Oxfam India, the Oxfam India Trust, as my colleague Arvind pointed out there, Jamia Millia Islamia, the Tuberculosis Association of India, many organizations that are engaged in philanthropic work. Now, according to a list on the Ministry of the Home Ministry's website, these 12,580 organizations include several cultural, economic, educational, social and religious organizations. So, of course, the question right now is why this move? FCRA non-renewal. Is this the government acting against activism? There are names on this list that include the Indira Gandhi National Center for Arts. That's a government-funded arts organization. We have the Jamia Millia Islamia, the India Islamic Cultural Center, the Nehru Memorial Museum and Library, the Indian Epilepsy Association, the Orphanage Bachcho Ka Ghar, the Medical Council of India, my alumni, Lady Sriram College, the Kolkata-based Satyajit Ray Film and Television Institute. So again, the question right now is this non-renewal of the FCRA, is this the government acting against activism? We have joining us on the show, we have Sanjay Hegde, a senior advocate with the Supreme Court. We have Dr. Vijay Jolly, a senior leader with the BJP, an executive member of the BJP, also president of the Delhi Study Group, that's an NGO. We have Dr. J.A. Jayalal, he's a president of the IMA, organization that's on this list. And Saket Gokhale, national spokesperson of the Trinamool Congress. Dr. Jayalal, let me start with you. You know, this FCRA registration, it is valid for 5 years, and an organization has to subsequently apply afresh for grant of registration. The government says that the 5,968 organizations are among like 18,000 whose FCRA licenses were expiring between September and 31st December 2021. The government claims, the Home Ministry claims, that these 5,789 out of nearly 6,000 organizations did not apply for renewal. As they put it, this is despite several reminders. Did you not apply for renewal? Do you know why you're on this list?
No, I'm very sorry to note that unfortunately our name is there, if at all there's in the list, because we have renewed and we got an approval order in the 25th of May of 25th of this month, year. So we got an approval order, we have our fund is functioning. So I do not know whether it is really true, whether it is there. But if the government is saying that if there is a companies have not applied for it, not properly followed the rules and regulation, definitely I think it is in the purview of the government to take a decision. It is a responsibility of the any organization. It is necessary that we compile the rules of the government and apply for regularly for that our data. I think the process is on. I'm very confident because I checked my order also. We got an approval in the May, 25th of May by the government that it is approved for us.
Okay. Dr. Vijay Jolly, could you respond to the critics who say that the motivation here is to try and curb organizations that are critical or could put out studies that are contrary to the government's narrative, like whether it's human rights, whether it's mining, the environment, vaccinations? Have we met our vaccination deadline? The promises that the government set that all Indians adults would be vaccinated by the end of the year, COVID deaths.
You see, there are 22,762 NGOs registered in India under the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act. Till today, 6,500 NGOs credentials have been processed as per the State Bank of India circular dated 9th June 2021. And it may be recalled and it may be stated and reiterated that in September 2020, some amendments were made in the FCRA and all entities are now required to open an account with the State Bank of India, New Delhi main branch, as a designated FCRA account. No need for panic. NGOs that have valid registration certificate under FCRA can continue to receive funding from overseas. Only those NGOs who have neither filled up the applications, who have neither fulfilled the new amended regulations, the criteria, and which have not filled up any forms and which have even filled up incomplete information under the FCRA new guidelines, do not fulfill the criteria, will not be eligible to benefit from overseas contribution. So this whole hue and cry is all politically motivated. And when you were deciphering Oxfam, Jamia, there's a government organization also by the name of IGNCA. There is a Nehru Memorial Museum which comes under the government of India's Ministry of Culture. That has also not been approved. So please, for God's sake, I appeal to all the relevant quarters. I do not have a brief for the government of India and neither for the BJP, but as a foot soldier of the BJP, I can state that all the NGOs in India which continue and which want foreign contributions to come for their social activities, for their missionary activities, for the tuberculosis association or for the children's rights, they are free still to avail those benefits, provided they comply with the current standards and guidelines issued by the Ministry of Home Affairs and the Ministry of Finance in this matter.
All right. The point, Sanjay Hegde, the point that was also raised in the Supreme Court is that these amendments that Mr. Jolly has just mentioned, the amendments to the FCRA in 2018-2019, in court, it was raised that these amendments have made it extremely rigorous. They're onerous. They're unfair. They're without rationale. That's what the petitioners had contended in the Supreme Court, that the reason the government has made these amendments were to choke the flow of foreign funds, or basically to stifle organizations like this that are critical to the government.
Well, that may well be the government's objective. And many of these organizations that you've named, something like Jamia, IGNCA, or the Islamic Center, they may have decided, look, it's just not worth the bother. They may have open-end FCRA registrations because some of their alumni, somebody from abroad, wants to send them money for good causes. That may not be a huge percentage of their revenue. The paperwork, the number of returns, the questioning, the vulnerability that the Act creates, it may have made these institutions decide that we will not apply for registration. We will work on Indian money alone. You know, there was Amnesty International, which set up Amnesty International India as a separate Indian funded institute, taking Indian funds alone. But yet the government went after them saying that there was a particular amount deposited from abroad against which loans were raised, and that was a violation. So the point is that if you make a law unnecessarily cumbersome, then it is serving the objects of the government. It is serving the objects of Inspector Raj. What it does is to deny people, the end users, the benefit of it. So if Oxfam says, like, look, we will not seek funds from London or wherever else, but whatever we will work on whatever we can work within India.
And who pays the price?
That's a choice for an NGO to make.
Who pays the price? This is an NGO that works on educating girls, you know, Beti Bachao, Beti Padao. That's part of what, you know, what the government says it wants to work towards. But Mr. Jolly, Sanjay Hegde says there that many NGOs may have just said, you know, it's not worth the bother. It's just too high a risk, because you have made a law, you have made these amendments that are just too cumbersome for the organizations with a desire to crack down on them. Maybe there are few of these organizations that the government believes are, you know, it is targeting, but isn't there a collateral damage here? Are we throwing out the baby with the bathwater? Who pays the price in the end?
Well,
the citizens pay the price, the poor, the destitute, the orphans. And in a COVID year, when we've had a lockdown, who has looked after these children who've lived on the streets? It is NGOs, sir.
Well, these are different hypotheses which are coming to the fore. The government of India reserves its right to make the laws which are people-friendly, which are eco-friendly. And it also reserves the right to make laws which are in national interest. If
any NGO
feels aggrieved, if any NGO feels aggrieved, they are free to go to the court of law. But to raise doubts,
you haven't answered my question, sir. Who pays the price for this?
It's not fair enough.
While this game goes on, while there are these NGOs, there may be bigger NGOs who can go to court. But what about the smaller NGOs who are working on the ground in a small state, maybe for tribal rights, for the welfare of tribal children? What happens to them? But I want to bring in Saket Gokhale. Saket, I know you've been wanting to speak up, so I'm going to give you a chance right now. Of course, the story so far is that on Christmas Day, the timing can't be ignored there. The Ministry of Home Affairs declined to renew the registration, of course, of the missionaries of charity under this FCRA Act again. You wanted to come in. Your reaction today to the fact that we have 6,000, almost like 6,000 NGOs who are no longer, whose work is certainly going to be affected in some way.
Thanks. I do want to point out when I start off that this is what they've done today is blatantly illegal, because no one's spoken about this. On 31st of December 2021, and I have a copy of the Home Ministry notification signed by B.C. Joshi, Deputy Secretary FCRA, The deadline for organizations whose license was expiring first on 30th of September was extended to 31st December.
Yeah.
And now that same deadline has been extended to 31st of March 2022. Now, the same order also says that all organizations whose licenses now expire on 31st of March 2022 can apply between now and the end of March. So the argument by the Home Ministry that these organizations who have lost their FCRA license did not apply in time, they still have time until March 2022 to apply for a renewal. So this is the Home Ministry going completely against its own office order, which was issued last night. Second thing, Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity, it's a global brand, it's an organization known across the world, they cancelled their FCRA license. And the reason given was not, as Mr. Jolly is claiming, you know, incomplete application, no bank account, nothing. They said adverse inputs were received.
Yes, that's
the
a separate category.
Not bothered to yet say what these adverse inputs are. Who did they come from? The Intelligence
Correct.
Bureau? Was it in regards to the BJP's anti-conversion agenda? And number three, it must also be pointed out here that there are a lot of organizations. So it's not like they've not chosen to apply for renewal. They actually have time till 31st of March, but the Home Ministry has decided to cancel their licenses. And if you notice, the organizations whose licenses have been cancelled are organizations who are seen as a direct threat to the RSS and its different branches with the so-called social work that they're carrying out. If you look at Prime Minister Modi, he's been encouraging donations to Seva International, which funds a lot of affiliated organizations in India. I will soon come out with a list of RSS affiliated organizations in India who are receiving funds from Seva International and who do not have an FCRA license. But that's beyond the point. So this is clearly to eliminate competition to the RSS. But the point is, why were these licenses cancelled today when the deadline is 31st of March? And what were these so-called adverse inputs received against Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity? They should explain that at least.
Mr. Jolly, quick response from you. Will we know what these adverse issues are that the government found when it comes to the Missionaries of Charity at all before I go to Sanjay Hegde for the closing word?
You see, the TMC and its leader, Mamata Banerjee, has an old habit of poking its nose into everything what is connected with that and everything what is not connected with that.
So this affects each and every one of us, not just the TMC.
State with authority.
It affects all of us,
sir. The Mission of Charity itself had informed State Bank of India with a request to freeze its account. It may be recalled that Ministry of Home Affairs on 25th December had rejected the application of
Saket, please let Mr. Jolly finish. The eligibility criteria and the conditions under the FCRA, it
has got nothing to do with any agenda. Of course, if funds will come to India for conversion, the government of India has a right to object and to defreeze.
But where is the proof of that?
Such
Does the government of India also have a right to provide proof of this?
Are used for the terrorist activities.
I want to go across last question, Sanjay Hegde.
So please do not open up.
Is there proof of these allegations? We know what the government stand is. In the Supreme Court, the government said they red flagged the use of foreign funds because they believe it's, you know, it finances activities detrimental to national security, national interests. There are, it refers to intelligence inputs that shows that money abroad is being used to feed activities, according to them, that destabilize national peace and security. Has the government in court, etc., given proof of any of this?
The government doesn't really require to make, give proof. Because it has the legislative power, it has done it. Now, what really needs to be seen is how do the citizens hold the government accountable? Because this governments always confuse the interest of the government with the interest of the nation. The nation is more than the government. The nation is the people. There are people in need. There are people who want to help out with that need and they are abroad. But the government says that if you want to do it, you can go through only one very circuitous route like this all over to feed somebody. At some point of time, people are going to get fed up of it and say, we are just not playing this game. And that is what is happening. If you make the rules cumbersome, if you look at everybody with suspicion, then people who are in need will be deprived and the government will say, we did nothing. Is that really in national interest? The question is for your viewers to answer.
I think that's a good note to end on. What is in the interest of the nation? Is it cracking down on NGOs that do work for the poorest of the poor? Thank you all for joining us on this show tonight.